And I'd like to just bless us from the Word of God, really kind of prep us and prime our heart for the Lord's table to come. But this afternoon, just a reminder that our sins are gone. They're gone. Our sins are gone because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And so I want to encourage us and remind us about that precious blood of Jesus Christ. Our sins are gone. And so let's go to Leviticus 17. We'll start here first. Leviticus 17 and then go to Revelation. But let's go to Leviticus 17. This is what God has ordained, what he has declared. And so Leviticus chapter 17. And let's go to verse 11. And this is what God declares as our creator. He says this, and for the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. The life of every living being, of course, it's in its blood. You know, we call it the lifeblood. But again, the blood is life. And God has ordained that blood is the only thing that can atone for the sins of the soul. Essentially, life for life. And the sinfulness of man, my sinfulness, your sinfulness, has incurred the supernatural judgment of God to eternal damnation. Therefore, the only atonement for our sins must be the supernatural blood of a sacrificial lamb, not already cursed by sin, the shedding of that precious blood that is not marred by the fallen creation. It has to be the perfect, sinless blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. If you think in the Old Testament, you know, like Leviticus here, they're given the pattern of the sacrifice, that of an innocent lamb. But even though the lamb was quote-unquote innocent, without blemish, it was still marred by sin. It was still part of the sinful, fallen creation. And so our Savior, of course, came as man, yet without sin. And then let's go to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1, and in verse 5, Jesus Christ describes himself here. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead. We rise from the dead because he rose from the dead. And the prince of the kings of the earth. That word prince there, the old English word for prince as in principality. Not just prince as we use it today as someone that is sub beneath the king. Prince in the King James Bible means principal, as in the head. And so he, of course, is the King of Kings. The Prince of the Kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. What can wash away my sin? The songwriter wrote, nothing but the blood of Jesus. And if the precious blood of Jesus has washed away our sins, it is gone completely. Praise God, our sins are gone. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a tremendous thought, Lord. Just a wonderful reminder of the precious, precious, sinless, powerful, divine shed blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, that he was conceived of the Holy Ghost, was not marred or tainted by the sin of the line of Adam, our second Adam from above. Lord, yet he came as man to redeem mankind unto himself. Father, thank you for that precious blood of Jesus Christ, that our blessed Savior, that even though he was tempted, tempted beyond measure, and even though he was crucified and killed and martyred and mutilated and disfigured and just scourged, Father, that he always did your will, that he never once sinned. So he came, the sinless Lamb of God, and he lived that sinless life, and he died the sinless Savior. The whole stretch, Lord, that just, wow, Lord, what a joy that he came without sin, and he lived without sin. Lord, truly we praise you for the Lord Jesus Christ, our sinless Lamb, our blessed Savior. Thank you for his shed blood Father, to know that my sins are gone. They're paid for. They're forgiven, Father. Help us, Lord, truly to put on the helmet of salvation, to truly know that once saved, always saved, because my sins are gone. And we praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Imagine if our sins, let alone our very thoughts or secret feelings or secret thoughts were put up on screen, even right here at church, for all to see. That would be that'd be pretty embarrassing, pretty humiliating. You know, again, just to be reminded that even though we're, you know, we're saved by grace, you know, and we walk by faith, you know, we're still in this flesh. And you and I, we do things that we ought not to. We still think things that we ought not to. I praise God that my sins are gone. I praise God that we will never have to answer for those sins, the payment all poured out already on Jesus Christ. Praise God that through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, our sins are not just forgiven, they're gone, deleted, expunged. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Hope to encourage us today. And you know, we know this. It's not something we don't already know. But we'll see God really repeat himself over and over again in Scripture to the truth that our sins are gone. He's forgotten them. He's buried them. I mean, he says in so many ways. I think so that we get the point. Okay, this is to fasten the helmet of salvation. Again, the helmet of salvation is not getting saved. It's for folks who are already saved to know that they are saved. Okay, blessed assurance of knowing that we're saved. That's the helmet of salvation. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1. The Lord says it this way in verse 18. And it's very fitting considering how much snow there is outside. Okay, but think of it this way. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18 says, "Come now and let us reason together." What an invite by God. God says, "Hey, I want you to get this. I've done this. I've planned to do this before the foundation of the world, before Genesis 1:1, but I want you to realize what I've done for you. Saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Completely gone and untraceable. If I use just kind of a carnal example, but our dog Rose, I think it was Thursday night. Yes, so Thursday night before church, there's a cute little bunny right outside Gabe's room. His room is in the lower level, so you have the window right into the backyard, and there's a bunny right there, you know, munching away. And so Gabe took a cute little video of the bunny munching away. And the thing is, the bunny was already dead; it just didn't know it yet. We come back from church. I let the dog out as we normally do, and this time she wouldn't come back. I'm like, "Oh, what did she get into?" And in the back of my mind, I was thinking, "I hope she didn't get that bunny. She eats every bunny that comes into our backyard, every one of them. You know, this is probably her 10th kill, 12th kill, I don't know. But she's eaten so many." And I call her. She won't come back. I think, "Oh, fine." I go put my shoes on and not fall down not slide down the steps, you know, the ice. You know, anyway, I had to call her, and she comes running in. I said, "Oh, I hope that's a big stick in her mouth." No, it was the leg of the bunny and the hip, you know, just the 1/5 left of the bunny. And she came in, like ran. Thankfully, she went to the mud room, not our bedroom. It's 50-50. Sometimes she goes to our bedroom, even with a kill, and then thankfully didn't drip anywhere. But anyway, so she got the bunny. She came in, I took the leg away like a naughty girl, you know, I put it in there. Next day, of course, the joy of having winter, things freeze, you know, so that's not bad. And so I go out the next morning like, all right, typically I know the drill. I go out with my garbage bags and just get the body parts and whatnot. And I looked and I could not find it, no trace. I'm like, I thought there would be some blood smears or, again, I share this because of the blood here. Okay, but all I could see was just white, all white. No trace. I'm like, oh, like digging around, like, oh, where is she? And she must have eaten the whole thing. I don't know. But I couldn't find any trace of the rest of the bunny. All we had was just the leg up to the hip. And that was it. No trace. But anyway, it just got me thinking, you know, when we think of the, maybe that's a bad transition. I don't know. Okay, but when you consider your sin, the death, the decay, the wickedness that it brings. And because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, even though it is scarlet or it's crimson, it is completely gone. Like photoshopped, except it's real. Okay, it's just nothing but when God looks at you, nothing but a clean slate. A clean slate. That is amazing. Instead of my record just dripping with guilty blood for all the times I've wronged God, okay, my hands are guilty for committing crimes. It's just a clean slate. That is amazing. If you go to chapter 43 in Isaiah, God says it this way. Isaiah 43, let's go to verse 25. Isaiah 43, verse 25 says, I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgression for mine own sake. I will not remember thy sins. When we are saved, God blots it out. The word blotted out means to delete, to completely erase, wipe away, essentially to obliterate it. God, he's the Lord of all creation. He essentially takes it and just minuses it from creation. I mean, he gets rid of it. The sins are gone. Again, by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. This is the power of the sinless, divine, perfect blood that was shed for your sins and mine. Our sins are gone. Let's go to Micah chapter 7. We'll stay in the prophets. Daniel, and then Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah. That's how I remember it. All the prophets are together. Jonah, Micah. And so Micah chapter 7, verse 18. Look at this. Micah 7, verse 18. Speaking about God. Who is a God like unto thee, that pardoneth iniquity, passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. The songwriter said, in the sea of God's forgetfulness. That's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. It's not that God is forgetful, but God chooses to forget it. He chooses to, like, Lord, I'm so sorry, forget it. No, he has literally taken our sins and put them to the sea, never to, he's flushed them down, okay? Thou wilt perform the truth of Jacob and the mercy of Abraham, which thou hast sworn to our fathers from the days of old. He will bring it to pass. That's amazing. And so God keeps repeating over and over that our sins are gone and never remembered. It kind of got me, well, why does God keep saying the same point? Well, evidently, it's got to be a big deal. It's got to matter to God. That's why God keeps saying it. And so do I understand just how big a deal it is when John 3:16 tells us God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It had to be Jesus. There's no other way. God in human form shed God shed his blood for you and I. That's amazing. I mean, when you think about that, I mean, it's a big deal. God wants us to understand the awesomeness of being saved, but the price for us being saved. But what happened to our sins? It's gone. Psalm, boy, got so many here. Let's go to Jeremiah first. We'll stay in the prophets before we get to Psalms. Let's go to Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah 31, verse 34. I think of that songwriter said, oh, what a standing is mine. What a joy to stand before God, holy, blameless, and without blemish. Not that we deserve it, but we are declared righteous by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Our sins are gone. That's how we do it, by God's grace. Jeremiah 31, let's go to verse 34. And so this is a prophecy, of course, fulfilled in Jesus Christ. But Jeremiah back then said this, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they shall all know me. So you don't have to tell them. They already know who God is through Jesus. From the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sin no more. God doesn't bear grudges. He's not going to pull that sin card, you know, when we disagree with him. You know, he's not going to bring up our faults. It's gone. No strings attached. By the shed blood of Jesus Christ, those sins are gone. They're expunged. There's no, they don't. You know how I think insurance companies, I think if you get into an accident, you keep it for 3 years or something, then after that, then you're kind of cleared again. Or if you have some kind of file on record, after they might keep it, I don't know for how long. I think schools by law, you have to keep it for 7 years after you. There's different time frames. God doesn't keep it. He doesn't keep records. Once we are saved, the sins are gone. They're gone. So the salvation that we have is so complete, even our conscience is purged, cleansed. That's so amazing. And in fact, this prophecy fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10, makes reference to this verse. But let's go to Hebrews in the New Testament, chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, and in verse 12. Hebrews 10, verse 12, again, speaking about this man, Jesus Christ, who is God in the flesh. You know, that is so, it has to be him. It can't just be anyone else who is under the curse of sin. It had to be God himself. Little side note here. Where were we? I was in a restaurant with my two boys, and there was probably a group of eight Mormons sitting behind us. I could tell because of their elder name tags, but they were just so young. They're probably just in their 20s, you know. But it just really burdened me because they reject Jesus Christ as God. They say he's an angel, Lucifer's brother. I mean, whatever. I mean, you have all this, you know, and it's, but it's, it has to be God. Jesus Christ is God. He received worship. It would have been idolatry any other way. And so, and that was the sin that Jesus was crucified for, was he said that he's God. And so, but look at verse 12. That's the whole point here. But this man, a man like no other man, Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, one and done, because it's the precious and the only precious sinless blood of Jesus, of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, set down on the right hand of God. That is a position of equal authority. He's equal with God. From henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Woo! Wherefore the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for after that he had said before, quoting Jeremiah, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and I in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Praise God. Are you glad that you're saved? Your sins are gone. Psalm 103, please turn there with me. Psalm 103. Psalm 103, in verse 12, God says it this way. Psalm 103, verse 12, as far as the east is from the west. Oh, God is so, I mean, it's very poetic, but this is also doctrine. So far hath he removed our transgressions from us. I mean, completely opposite. I mean, they'll never meet. They'll never crisscross. It's just amazing. Our sins are gone, removed from us. We will never have to answer for them, never have to be punished for our sins, because Jesus already took all the punishment on himself. And so Ephesians chapter 1, we'll wrap it up here. Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians 1 verse 7. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7. It's the blood of Jesus Christ who redeems us, meaning buys us back from bondage, in whom we have redemption through his blood. It has to be the shed blood of Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. And in Colossians chapter 2, and in verse 13, Colossians chapter 2, starting in verse 13, says, and you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened, that's made alive, together with him, having forgiven you, how many? All trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances, that's destroying it, putting it in a shredder, that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Praise God for the precious shed blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That divine blood. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, what an awesome thought, Lord. Truly, you are a loving God, and Father, you are a just God, that you didn't just ignore our sins. Oh, Lord, you did punish our sins. But where justice and mercy meet at the cross, in mercy, you punished our sins upon Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. That there was an atonement, a payment made for our sins, our trespasses. But that payment was so perfect, so powerful, it destroyed our sin. It completely obliterated it, Lord, that we are saved, we are forgiven, we are yours forever. Lord, what a joy to know that as wicked as I am, continually wicked, desperately wicked, that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth from all sins. Lord, what an awesome Savior you are, Lord. And Lord, we just ask that you would bless now as we partake of the Lord's table, that precious blood of Jesus Christ. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.